Hi, I'm Princess Rara.
And I'm Dara, the Electro Khaleesi.
And this is Pink Kink, the podcast where we talk about the pretty,
twisted side of kink. Today's episode is produced by our electrifying pink kinksters, Knight, Jay, Nova Hedonist, Tempest, Brianna Lynn, Fabe, Embers, Mama D, Daddy J, William P, Lady, Claire, Zytam, Savage Heart, Mr. N, and Mrs. Jess.
Pink Kink runs off the generosity of our devoted patrons.
As a patron, you will become a member of our special Discord server, receive some adorable Pink Kink stickers, as well as have access to a monthly behind-the-scenes podcast. In addition, our impactful and electrifying Pink Kinksters get special audio and video episodes. And finally, patrons at our highest tier will be recognized as producers, both here on the podcast and on our website.
If you would like to become a patron, you can visit us at patreon.com/pinkkinkpodcast or click the link at pinkkinkpodcast.com.
As kink becomes more mainstream and accepted, kinksters are looking for ways to learn and engage in kink that go beyond the traditional avenues such as FetLife. And with the recent pandemic of 2020, kinksters really needed unconventional ways to interact with other kinksters since they were stuck inside their own homes.
Totally stuck.
I mean, well and truly stuck. Social media really turned out to be a surprising way that kinksters were connecting. And kinksters were using Instagram and TikTok to show their kinks and make connections with others.
Mm-hmm. Now, many kinksters began to utilize those apps to educate and inform about a variety of standard kink concepts, you know, negotiation, safety, and consent. TikTok in particular really exploded with what kinksters call kink talk. We've even started our own kink talk account. The Pink Kink Podcast.
We're awesome.
That's been an adventure. Somehow the Gen Xer ended up in charge of social media, so I apologize. I'm figuring it out.
You're welcome. This millennial really didn't want to do it.
Yeah, yay me. Anyway, several Kink Talk content creators have really established themselves as kink influencers, and we wanted to find out how they've been able to do that. How did they use social media to educate and relate kink to the masses?
We were very fortunate to have spoken with three amazing creators whose combined audiences total more than 250,000 followers.
I got excited. We finally broke 100.
Well, when we talked to them, we discussed what it was like to teach kink through such an unorthodox method and if they envision that this is the future of kink education, even once we all emerge from our cocoon of quarantine.
Yeah. So first up, we spoke to a wonderful TikToker, Ms. Brutal B.
I love her.
Oh, she was amazing. She caught our attention because of her straightforward, no-nonsense way of teaching kink. And yet she's still really funny.
Oh, she was hilarious. I absolutely loved talking with her.
So here's Ms. B. We've noticed that kink talk has really exploded, and we don't know if that would have happened regardless of the pandemic or if it's the fact that we're all locked in our house and we need a way to connect with each other and this is what happened. But I really wanted to kind of talk about it because it seems that the kinksters on TikTok are different than the kinksters that we run into at Munches and at events and even on FetLife.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a huge amount of disparity between the two, and I think that's really important to acknowledge. Kink talk is a weird place.
Yeah, I'm learning that.
Even though I do love it and I love being a big participant there, it's very centered towards the idea behind TikTok is that you scroll, you see something that entertains you for about 15 seconds, and then you keep going.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten into it yet, so I don't know what I'm doing.
So one of the funny things about it, though, is that if you're then doing educational content, you really then kind of work your way into an audience that is interested in your educational content. They don't just want to be mindlessly entertained because they are learning. And a lot of kink talk, on the other hand, does a lot more thirst traps because it's a lot easier to... It's a lot easier to connect with your audience very quickly that way.
Now, one of the things that I've noticed is some of the male kink talk influencers do a lot more with that thirst trap.
Yes.
Versus the female influencers. Do yes. you is that on purpose for you? Is it are you trying to avoid that label?
That is not something I want to do. I am not a thirst trapper. That's just not my thing. I totally respect people who are interested in doing thirst traps. I think that's awesome. I think that's great. If that's what you want to do, if that's something that gives you joy or makes you feel good about yourself, I think that's amazing. Thirst traps just aren't my thing. And it's interesting because most of the kink talkers, especially the male ones, the cis het male, from what I've noticed, what they seem to really want is to kind of sexualize dominance and create that narrative of, have you drunk your water today? You know, like that whole thing. And I just, no, I'm good. Thank you.
It's like they make everything sexual. It's like French fry.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no, 100%. They're, you know, sitting in their cars and I fucking the camera. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. I sit in my car and I'm like, hey guys, we got to talk about rape culture. You know, so I get where there's a disparity here.
So I'm just going to start out asking, like, how long have you been in the BDSM lifestyle as a whole?
As a whole, oh God. So I was thinking about this the other day, and I think honestly, it doesn't feel like that long, but it also feels like so long ago. I think I've actually only been involved in our local kink scene for about 6 years.
I mean, that's not a bad run.
It's not terrible. I think it's 5 or 6 years, something like that. Something like that. I can't remember exactly. All I remember is that the first day I went to my first event was on my dad's birthday and I had to leave early, but I was dedicated to going. I was like, no, I'm going to go and I have an excuse to leave in case it's terrible and I'm scared and I don't want to do this. And then I ended up being very late for my dad's birthday. So,
hey, I was going to say you had a good excuse then.
Oh, 100%. And also, I think it's helpful that my parents might have really low expectations on when I'm going to show up places. I'm late to a lot of things. Just blame the neurodivergence. I do my best, but damn.
Now, you identify as a dom, correct?
I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I do identify as a dom, but I primarily actually identify as a sadist.
Ah, welcome to the club. Yeah. It's fun here. We have candy and cookies.
Usually cookies.
There you go.
What's the difference between the two for you?
For me, I usually think that, so sadism is more in the idea of action. It's sadistic actions, sadistic words, sadistic, just joys. I love to call them just joys, you know, just delicious. I love it. And then dom and people who identify as doms, I usually look at as more of a power exchange dynamic. I don't personally do power exchange readily. A lot of people, because power exchange is their goal,
right,
they are interested in getting into that right away, and they're a dom, and they're the this person's your submissive. I have dozens of play relationships, and I am a dominating force to a lot of people in their lives, but I don't need to be their everybody's mistress.
Okay, yeah. You're just not automatically the mistress. Like, you'll be a dom, just not their dom.
I mean, the thing is that I look at dominance so primarily with connection and the understanding of what we both want equally in that relationship. And because my play style is so genuinely sadistic, like, intensely. Usually what ends up happening more so is that I have a lot of really fun play relationships and I don't really need service every single right. second of the day. So I'm good with that.
So what kind of things do you do that are so actively sadistic?
One thing I have done before is mummified someone with needles underneath and then whipped them and walked them around an entire courtyard and made them go up and down stairs.
The ideas I know.
I'm thinking this, you sound like you'd be good working with Rara here.
Oh yeah. And that was like, that's just the first thing I thought of. I've done things that are a lot more horrifying than that. I've done a lot of things that are a lot gentler than that, right? Every scene that you do is different. So I mean, you can have fun with it. And I just think a lot of people get nervous about sadism because it seems wrong, right? It seems like something that you shouldn't want. But then when you meet masochists, it's something they want. And so that's totally great. And I love it. And it's just...
Yeah. On the masochist side, we have the same problem. You tend to, if you overthink it, you start to wonder, what is wrong with me that I love being hurt so much.
Exactly. And the funny thing, I've talked to so many masochists about this, and I always say the exact same thing. And every single one of them seems to just understand it so perfectly because it seems to encapsulate how they feel. And that is, pain feels like love. Because there's something about this idea that love has to be tender and beautiful, but it's not. Love has never been tender. Think about childbirth. There's nothing tender about that. It's absolutely chaotic and nightmarish, but it's one of also the most loving experiences you can have as a human person. And so I think we as a society have decided to put a lot of barriers on what love can feel like. And for masochists, love is pain, and that's okay.
I love it.
I know. I think I'm going to have to steal that.
That's great.
All right. So let's kind of come back to TikTok stuff. Was your intention to become this kink influencer? If not, how did you end up in this position?
Absolutely not. I had no idea that was going to happen. Going back to what we were saying before about TikTok taking off because of taking off because of quarantine. That was my reasoning. Because last year, I broke my leg and I couldn't work. I work on my feet. I had moved in with my mother.
Fun.
Oh, yeah. Just what I wanted. Moved in with my mother, my sister, brother-in-law, dad, dog, cat. Oh my God, her four-year-old. It was insanity. I moved from my apartment where I live alone into that. And it was chaos. And I needed something to distract me because everyone else had things going on. And I was in a wheelchair, just being mostly abused by a four-year-old because he was very excited that Angie was open. He would wheel me into corners and then just leave me there. And he thought that was hilarious. And I have to admit, it is.
Future sadist.
I'm thinking, yeah, that is actually pretty funny.
Right? I actually appreciate it so much because he would just like wheel me. And then he at one point left me near the stairs. Like he knew I could not get away.
Yeah, the little in me is contemplating doing this. And it's like, yeah, that sounds like a great fun time. Yeah.
Yeah. So he did that.
I'd probably have my camera videoing it.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And then I had to wait until an adult got home because he knew if like Auntie's the one who's watching me, she's disabled. She can't help me at all. So like, whatever, I just ditch her somewhere and I'm on my own. But yeah, so the funny thing is I needed something to distract myself. And I was watching a YouTube video one night. And this is after I moved out of the wheelchair. I was now kind of hobbling around a little bit. But I was watching a YouTube video and it was a man. And I think he identifies as a handler. And he is also what I would describe as a bear. And his partner. And he's his pup. At this point, I thought that TikTok was like teenagers doing dances. And I was all like, I'm not a pervert, so I'm not going to be on there because I'm not a pedophile. Like, you know, I was like, this is an app for children, so I'm going to let them do their thing. You know, that's what I assumed. Then I saw all these kink talkers and I was like, what is this? They started doing a review of different kink talkers. And that's when I noticed that all of them were thirst traps. And again, I'm not disparaging thirst traps. Okay. But what I ended up noticing is that I'm like, oh, okay. So everything here is just kind of thirsty and like, that's cool. But I wonder if there's really any kind of educational side to it. And I went on a bit of a rabbit hole journey looking for educational videos and it was hard to find. So I decided to put up a spanking tutorial. That was my first video that was actually instructional. And that was the second video I posted on TikTok. And it, at this day, I believe has like 900,000 views.
Wow.
Yeah.
So would that be the video that like kind of launched you into being a kink talk influencer?
Absolutely. I would say that.
So on your second video?
Yeah. Second or third, somewhere in there. So I did one that was about what I like to call disaster in the dungeon, because I actually teach a local class here about playing with health concerns. And one of the things that I talk about is what I now call disaster in the dungeon, which was I had a diabetic experience while I was in the midst of a scene and my partner was in full bondage, strapped to a chair, and I fainted.
Oh,
And that is one of my videos. That was the first one I posted. And then, don't worry, she was fine. don't worry, it was totally fine. We were in a local play scene where we were in our local dungeon and we were surrounded by people. It was totally okay. I just wanted to put that up there just to let people know, like, hey, shit happens here.
Sometimes things go wrong, yeah.
Shit happens when you're in kink. And sometimes it has nothing to do with the kink itself. It has to do with you just being a person. And it sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I just decided I wanted to share some stories about that, let people know that those are things that can happen. And next thing I knew, I went into work one day and my phone just would not stop buzzing. And I was like, what is going on? And I opened it up and I looked and suddenly I had like 8,000 views on this video, a bunch of comments. And I had no idea that that was going to happen. I wasn't prepared for that. And now here we are.
That's awesome.
So have you had to deal with the lovely Thanos experience?
I have not been Thanosed. I have not been Thanosed yet. It's never happened. Probably will. I am prepared.
At some point.
I have a backup account, everyone. It's called Ms. Brutal B again.
There you go.
It is literally just waiting for me to sign in.
Yeah, we got Thanosed like the second week. Video that never made it out of review.
Oh, yeah. I've had videos where I'm calling out a really toxic behavior and I get my sound taken off immediately. Like it gets posted and the sound is gone in, I'm gonna say, a minute and a half.
Wow.
And then you have to like get it reviewed and get all this stuff done and whatever. But it's, I don't understand their policies and I don't think anyone does. And I think we need to hold them accountable to that because it doesn't make any sense.
Now, I know there are a lot of accounts are getting Thanosed for so-called nudity when there's been no nudity in the video.
Well, the ones that you posted, there was zero nudity at all. It was fully clothed, just happened to be in rope.
Well, one of the weird things, too, is like I have had multiple things taken down for nudity and sexually explicit content. And the thing that I'm mostly talking about is like, hey, guys, please don't rape each other. Let's talk about consent. So.
Oh, and that gets removed. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. But you know what? I just keep posting it. I don't care. Keep trying. Keep taking it down. I don't give a shit. I'm going to say what I need to say because what I need to say is more important than what you're afraid to hear.
So is that kind of your mission with these videos is to try to teach safety, teach about consent?
The fact is that when you are on something like TikTok, where you have to grab your audience's attention in like 20 seconds, and you have to grab it and you have to hold on to it, you only get 60 seconds. You have to fill a lot into that 60 seconds. I have officially been approved for 3-minute videos.
Oh, yay.
Oh, wow.
Are you going to use them? That seems like a long time.
I know, right? I was like, oh God, how do I feel 3 minutes in with my dumb voice? And then I remembered I'm a big talker and I'm a big mouth, so I'll probably figure it out.
Yeah, so speaking of which, how do you come up with the content that you do post?
A lot of the time I'll see what's kind of going on Kink Talk, because if there is anything on Kink Talk that is immediately a concern, you know, if there's somebody who's doing something that's incredibly dangerous, like we need to talk about this right now because it's holding everyone's attention in this one moment. Eventually, that's going to go away, but we need to do what we can to make sure that we are keeping that foundationally safe for other people that don't know any better. So that's one big thing. And then also, I mean, I teach local classes, so I think a lot of the stuff that I teach is stuff that I've taught a million times before.
Do you find that certain types of videos generate more interest than other videos?
There's always that. I mean, it's kind of weird too, because you never know what's going to blow up. Like sometimes mm-hmm. It's the weirdest stuff where you're like, really? This is the thing? Okay, sure, I guess.
When that happens, do you try to make more like that one to see if it happens again? Or is it usually just random?
I feel like those ones are random, you know? Sometimes I posted up a silly video that I didn't think anyone would care about. I literally thought my audience was going to skip past it, you know, just boop, like, don't care, right? And it got 180,000 views or something like that. And I'm like, oh, okay.
All right. So with all of your videos and followers, do you have a favorite story about a follower? Either something crazy they've done or something really lovely and sweet?
Yes, absolutely. So My favorite story of a follower ever also is important because it just goes to show why responsible education is so important. And I did a response video, and I think you guys may have seen it, to a bad thirst trap bondage tutorial.
Yeah, I know about it. I don't, Dara doesn't. I'm well aware of that individual and all the videos that have been in response.
I did a response to a bad bondage tutorial, and I was talking about basically just nerve damage. That was all I talked about. I talked about the fact that you have your median, radial, and ulnar nerve in your wrist, and if you are doing something like a fireman's tie, yes, am I teaching right now? Kind of. If you do something like a fireman's tie, it is not a locked knot, so it will independently tighten on its own, and you can get horrendous nerve damage. And so I posted this, and then somebody commented on it, and they were saying like, hey, I can't do one of those movements, and I don't know why. And so I actually brought in another person that I know who is a big rope head. And I was all like, hey, I was just wanting you to like talk to this person maybe about what's going on here. So we together spoke about what it could potentially be and why they should maybe talk to their doctor and why it's important to advocate for their own health with their medical practitioner. So they did that. And then they sent me a message. It was about a week later. They sent me a message and it said that they wanted to thank me so much because they went to their doctor and it turns out that they did have nerve damage. And now, because of the video that they saw, knowing that, they were able to actually get signed in to get surgery, to get it fixed, and to get physio.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And it was just, yeah, it was a really, really, really beautiful message. Just, you know, and it just goes to show you how important, you know, integrous education is.
Is that the kind of stuff that keeps you going when you do run into the haters?
Oh, 100%. I don't find that I get too many. I get a few. People like to call me Karen sometimes because I like to tell people that they're wrong. Or like, hey, if you do this to your partner, you could accidentally murder them. So maybe don't do that. And then they're like, Karen, get out of my business. I'm like, okay, but just know that now you are taking responsibility for this. I have given you all the tools you need to not do it, but you're making a choice.
Have you found that you can teach more effectively through TikTok or through your more in-person lessons, tutorials? What?
I'm going to say in-person is always better. Because there's more response. If I'm talking on TikTok, I am talking to my apartment wall. Like, that's what I'm doing. I'm talking to my cat. Like, I'm just standing here talking to myself on the phone. I don't know the questions that are coming up in people's minds the second that they come up. So when I then am doing something like an in-person, somebody can look confused for a second or maybe look shocked or whatever, and we can talk about it. And we can say like, hey, that feeling you're having right now, like, where's that coming from? Let's discuss it. Let's really go over that together. Can't really do that on TikTok because it's, you know, a video that you've made and then posted.
Right.
It's not in real time.
So it's like being in Zoom for a meeting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, right now, we're on a computer. You don't know if I'm wearing pants or not. You have no idea, you know?
She's not.
I'm not.
Boom. See, all the secrets we are keeping. Fine. That is fine. But if we were in person, I would know that, right? So there is a lot more ability to, I think, individually connect with your audience when you are in an educational setting, right? On TikTok, not so much. You kind of just hope for the best. But it is fun, it is wonderful, and I think as well, it gives kink information and access to kink education and information to people who didn't know that they needed it. And I think that's really important.
So it's just a way of getting it out there as like a hook?
Not even as a hook, but more so the idea of kinksters who show up at Munch's every single week, right? They're always there. They're there at every event. They're there at every educational event. They are there at every discussion panel. They are extremely educated, and more likely than not, they are probably also a very like safe and integrous player. Somebody who just has cuffs beside their bed, or maybe has bought rope at Home Depot to play with, you know, or has bought a paddle before, but they're, you know, don't really have all the information and background about it yet. You know, they aren't going to all those Munches, but they are on TikTok.
Now, do you use any other social media platforms like Instagram or Twitter or anything else, or do you primarily stick to TikTok?
I'm only really on TikTok right now. Obviously, I'm on things like FetLife. Who isn't when they're a kinky weirdo like us? You know, but anything else, I obviously have things like Instagram for my job, but not for my kink life.
I know that feeling. I have 3 Instagram accounts. I have my personal vanilla one. I have my Princess Rara one. And then, of course, the Pink Kink podcast one.
Yep.
It's hard to keep up with them all. Do you think now that we're slowly coming out of quarantine and starting to be able to go to live events again, do you think that Kink Talk will still stay as huge as it is?
I think so, because not every kinky person wants to be part of the community, and that's okay. I personally prefer people who are humongously involved in the community, because so am I. I've been humongously involved in the kink community for years, right? And do a lot of work in the kink community. So I prefer people who are good with that and want to be part of that. But a lot of people don't want that, and that's okay too. So I think keeping Kink Talk alive is really important for them.
So what makes you stand out from other Kink Talk creators?
I think the only thing I can really say is that I try very hard to take a personally understanding approach. It's very difficult sometimes, but I try very, very hard to always be open-minded, thoughtful, not cruel in any way. I don't want to embarrass anyone publicly. That's not what I want to do. So everything I want to do, basically, I kind of do it almost like a parent. Instead, it's kind of like, hey guys, today we're going to talk about this. And, you know, like just really like gentle coaxing. So I take a scientific approach to the understanding of certain things. But also, I think I'm just a person who has studied a lot of kink. So I'm pretty sure as well that I just take a different approach. And you know what? There are educators on there that I think are a heck of a lot more qualified and talented than me. That might be imposter syndrome speaking. You never know when that one's rearing its ugly head. But I have definitely, I mean, Sunny Megatron is like...
Yeah, she's amazing.
I love her. I'm obsessed with her. And I watch all of her videos and I'm just all like, oh my God, I'm never going to be like Sunny Megatron. But then I remember, oh wait, I don't need to be. She's already here.
Yeah. If anybody gives you imposter syndrome, it's Sunny.
Oh, 100%. How could she not? 100%. She's bringing out, you know, stuffed clitorises, talking about nodules and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, like you have props? What?
You know who I'm totally obsessed with? And Rara knows this, but I would go nuts if I could talk to Savage Squirrel.
Oh, yeah.
She's so cute. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
All right, so a fun question here, because we all have them. Who is your TikTok crush?
Well, we know who mine is.
Oh, now I need to know who yours is. This is important.
I mean, it's Savage Squirrel. She's the cutest thing I've ever seen, so yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, so Savage Squirrel is your aces. That's like number one over here. Okay, TikTok crush. The funny thing is that I would probably honestly identify as a demisexual person. I like connection. Mm-hmm. Human connection is really important to me. So actually, I do not have a TikTok crush, but I do have a lot of TikTok, kink talk humans that I have incredible respect for. And I think that almost similarly.
You going to reveal yours?
Oh, well, mine is Cole Wolfwood.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Because I can just listen to that man talk all day.
He's wonderful. I love him. Another one, I also quite like Kane Wolf. He kind of obviously pulls in more to that daddy thing, which is definitely not something that I'm interested in as a sadist. I don't want to be daddied. I'm good.
I do.
But I do love how fun he makes his channel for littles. And I think that's wonderful because I think littles they don't get respected very well in the community sometimes. And that's changing a lot now. It's changed a lot in the last, you know, 6 years. It's definitely not where it needs to be yet. So I love that he kind of creates a space where that is really safe for them to have. So I love that.
Yeah, we both identify in that category.
Okay, wonderful. You look at someone like Wild Heathen, he has 230,000 followers. That's crazy to me. I don't know if I want that because the amount of pressure that would put on my brain, I'd be like, oh my gosh, if I screw up, then 230,000 people are going to see that. And, you know, I'm at like 40,000 and I'm comfortable. I'm fine. But at the same time, obviously, as the channel grows, that feels wonderful. And I'm going to be very excited for it to grow. But I can't imagine having that level of responsibility to that many people.
That's like celebrity status right there. That's a lot.
That's what I like to call a kink star.
We're
stealing that.
Stealing that too. You've got a lot of good stuff.
It's why I went up on TikTok. I got the stuff. Not all of it's great. That's awesome. Damn it, I try.
All right. Well, any other messages that you would like people to know about you, about kink, about TikTok?
I think the most important thing is if you're going to do any of your research on TikTok, you're interested in getting some of that information on TikTok, that is the absolute starting point. It is the starting line, not the finish line. Remind yourself that everything that you learn on there, there's more steps that you don't know about yet.
Excellent advice.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This was a wonderful experience. I've never gotten to be part of something like this, so that's very nice.
If you're ever down in the DC area, let us know. We'll take you to some of the dungeons we have around here.
Oh, I would love it.
Maybe a munch when we start those back up.
Oh, man. Well, if you guys are ever in Alberta, you let me know what's up.
Next up is Jay, otherwise known as J-Law's Funhouse. Now, Jay has a very laid-back, fun way of interacting with his followers.
He was pretty silly.
He was, and he's adorable. Sorry.
Rara was talking about him, like, the second she contacted him and he agreed to do the podcast, the interview, she was like, oh my God, we got J-Law.
He's a cutie pie. All right, so here is Jay.
So let's start with how long you've been in the BDSM lifestyle.
Oh, well, I guess it kind of jumps back. I started doing research probably about 7 years ago after a relationship fell apart with another vanilla, and I wanted to see what I was doing wrong or how anything that I could improve on as far as being in a relationship. So my whole journey started out sexual in nature, of course, but then it becoming and involved into what I refer to as a journey of self-discovery. So it started about 7 years ago, 6 years ago, when I started researching and getting into it. I've considered myself in this lifestyle about 3 years. I've been in a full-time TPE dynamic for the last 11 months.
Okay, cool. And in that, what do you identify as?
Probably a soft dom. I originally considered myself much more of a pleasure dom. I'm a daddy dom. I don't like to be very strict or anything. I'm very lighthearted. I like to keep things lighthearted, playful as much as possible. I guess that's pretty much it. I just consider myself much more of a kink and relationship mentor than anything else, I guess.
Well, what in your opinion makes a soft dom?
Well, okay, the difference between a hard dom and a soft dom is pretty simple. A hard dom is going to be a lot more strict. They're going to be a much more high protocol. A soft dom is much more think daddy dom or mommy, for instance. One that is much more lighthearted, much more playful, much more caretaking. You know, that's a big part of it. You know, littles and middles kind of go along with that. And I enjoy having a middle. I enjoy...
Go team middles. Yeah.
Right? If they want to sit down and watch some Disney movies and color on some coloring books, I will do that. I enjoy that. That's fun for me. So, yeah, it's so that's the difference between a hard dom and a soft dom. A hard dom is going to be, think, much more like master type, where a soft dom is much more of a daddy type, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So how did you end up on TikTok? How did that all get started?
I was in a... I gave Vanilla a one last try last spring.
As we do.
Yeah. And that individual, she ended up telling me about TikTok and how much she enjoyed it. And she started sending me a few videos, and I thought they were pretty hilarious. At the time, I ended up losing my job doing construction. It was right at the beginning of COVID. And so I started doing streaming on Twitch full time. And I have a degree in marketing and race car team management, which is a whole nother subject in its own. But during that time, I did a lot of marketing for race teams, tracks. You know, sponsorships are a huge thing when it comes to racing. So, of course, marketing goes hand in hand with it. So I decided I was going to try to use my marketing knowledge to better me, and horribly failed on TikTok. I think I struggled to get to like 100 views or 100 follows within the first like 2 months I was on it. And all I did was upload like highlight videos or, you know, hey, I'm going to go live on Twitch. Come and check me out. And I never got anywhere on there. As I was scrolling through, I ended up coming across Radiology Babe. She was the very first one kink talker that I ever came across. And so I started posting my stuff up on there about that. That's when my page actually started blowing up. I had people coming and asking me for questions, asking me advice. I offered them the knowledge that I had. My very first live, I had a lot of people that wanted to ask a lot of questions. I knew that a lot of them were probably submissive leaning, and I didn't want them to come into the scenario thinking that they were going to be able to ask me questions about being a submissive since I am not one. So the very first thing I did was I pleaded to like all of my followers, like, is there anybody that's been in the lifestyle for a very long time that we can rely on to gain extra knowledge if they ask a specific question, because I might not be able to answer them. And there was like 15 people that signed up like immediately. My very first live, even though I had like 1,100 followers or so, my very first live, I had around 40 or 50 people in there, like pretty much the whole time. Everybody started asking me more and more questions about BDSM, what it's like, you know, is it actually real? Is it like 365? Is it like 50 Shades? You know, and then started asking detailed questions where, you know, what is it like to be a dom? What kind of submissive are you looking for? What are your traits as being a dom? You know, what are kind of safe words? What are your beliefs on safe words? You know, what are your thoughts on gatekeeping? This kind of stuff. And that's when the in-depth conversation really started taking place, and some actual kink educators, I caught their eye. They ended up reaching out to me, and I got met up with them on Discord, and a few of them I had like, I mean, 3 or 4 hour long, in-depth, detailed conversations about our perspective on BDSM. During that time, that's when I didn't realize it at the time, and I didn't even realize it until about 3 or 4 months ago, that they were actually vetting me, and they were making sure that I was going to be handing out that proper information. And it went for about 3 or 4 different educators that were ended up doing that. And because I'm not an expert, and I don't think I've met a single expert except for maybe 2 that have been in the scene and actually properly trained and have their degree in it. Outside of that, though, there hasn't been a whole lot of people that are experts in the field, even though they've been in for like 30 years, just because they have different perspectives, you know, different types, different scenarios, different scenes, different practices. And just because you might talk to someone that's been in the scene for 30 years and been a master doesn't mean that they know how a daddy dom is going to act. You know what I mean? And so that's where my knowledge ended up coming from, is I started to conversate with so many different types. And throughout that time, that's when I found out, like, it's not just black and white, you know, it's not like a master dom and a slave. That's not what BDSM always is. There is that flavor, but it's not always just that. And once I found that out, that's when everything started going on. So going back to the TikTok, I got on last year, but this is actually technically my third account. I've been Thanos twice already. My first account was Thanos at just over 18,000 following. Second one was over 6,000 following a week later.
Yeah, we got Thanos probably in our second week already, because this is my mistake. I'm still learning TikTok. I posted a video that never even made it out of review, and they still Thanosed us.
The whole account
for something that never made it out of review. But basically, I had done, it was a video of a stapling scene where we had put copper wire through the staples. Mm-hmm. And then we're using the violet wand?
It's a violet wand, yeah.
Violet wand to electrify that. And I guess they felt that was too dangerous.
It was promoting violence. And we were like, what? Do you know what we do?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, people can get Thanos just for having like a flogger on their video. You know, they're like, people are getting Thanos for pretty much anything at this point. But they changed the community guidelines. Like, you used to be able to do sex education and relationship education when it regards to like kinks and fetishes. They have now put that on there as a bannable offense. So even if you talk about a fetish, that is a bannable offense, and you can get banned off of TikTok for that. So all of us are very liable to get banned. But problem is they only ban certain ones at certain periods of time, because they're still getting a fuck ton of views from us coming on. But they need to like keep us in check. So that's how they're fucking doing it, is that they're Thanosing us from time to time.
When you were talking about how you ended up being on Kink Talk and doing education, you didn't like intentionally set out to do kink education?
No, this just ended up falling onto my lap. I think I just started becoming a buffer between people that are in the scene and people that are not, but are curious. And I think that's what ended up taking off. Once I thought about that, I felt like it became an obligation for me to make sure that I'm at least handing out the proper information. I'm not an expert, but because of my background, because I reach out to other people and ask for their advice, because I have communication with these other individuals that have been around in the scene for quite a period of time, even if I don't know what the answer is, I can at least point them in the direction of where they need to go so they can get a right answer.
Now, how do you come up with the content for your videos?
Usually, I feed off of other creators. I'll come up with some ideas on my own. Sometimes I'll be in Discord and we'll come up with some funny ideas for a TikTok video. I also have my medical card. I live in North Dakota, and we do have medical marijuana up here, and I do have my medical card, and that does help with my creativity. usually I'm pretty baked in pretty much every video, not gonna lie. I've always been kind of a creative individual, so I like to play games like Minecraft where you can just create, city skylines, that kind of stuff. I like to be able to just create. It's just another creative outlet. And what's funny is that I used to come up with like little funny scenarios back when I was a kid and used to record them on tape, and I thought they were hilarious back in the day. But this is also back in the 80s, right? So now with TikTok out here, everything's kind of updated and with a lot more features available. And with sound bites and filters and, everything else. And now I can share it with everybody else. I'm just glad that everybody's enjoying the content so far.
Was there one particular video that kind of changed everything for you when you just sort of launched?
Oh, he's Team Coffee, just so you notice.
I saw that, yeah.
I am headquarters for Team Coffee. I watched Wild Heathen's video when he poured out the coffee and he was like, oh, okay. And he just pours the coffee out in the sink. And I was like,
oh, I wanted to cry. No, that was horrible.
So I duetted it and I'm like, I'm not going to let this stand. So I took a sip of coffee and I said, coffee is water, folks. Fight me. And then I took off the camera and I started giggling and I'm like, oh shit, this could really start a whirlwind. And I said, and that's when I hit record again. I'm like, I can only imagine where this is going to go. And I just I posted it. And next thing I know, like the next day, it just started fucking taking off and the coffee wars have been going on ever since. It's been great.
So wait a minute. Your video that just went ballistic and launched you was the coffee response?
No. My very first close to viral video that hit about 180,000 views was on my very first account, which was probably another reason why I was banned. Found out that if you jump into a cold shower, the noises that you make mimic the noises that you make in bed. And I did it. And as I came out of the shower, I'm like, huh, yeah, actually, that's pretty fucking close. And I just hit post. I looked at the video like 2 days later and it already hit like 40,000 views. I'm like, whoa. It was my first video that ever blew up. And it was
your first video was shower noises.
That was the first popular video I ever made on there. Yeah.
Wow. TikTok is an interesting place.
I have to do that. I want to go see if the noises that I make are the same now.
I said that about the faces when you're going to the bathroom. The same faces when you're going to the bathroom as you do during sex. Yes.
I don't know if I want to know.
I don't think I'm okay with that.
It doesn't matter whether you're okay with it or not. It's the same.
No, I don't want that in my head. Thank you.
I mean, I can only imagine.
You see?
No.
I don't want to say shit, but that seems. It's the first thing that came in my head. Oh shit! Yes, yes. This is why we spend half our podcast cackling.
But that's good, though.
That's okay. You know how we start every podcast?
She has to poke me.
Well, I mean. Oh, okay. It's very simple. Boobs make everybody's days better.
Yeah. Yes.
They really do. That's why we have an entire month about saving them. Save the tatas. You know what I mean? It's because
this is just our little ritual to get me in the mood.
I sacrificed like myself for the cause.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
Mine would probably be like Green Acres bongoing it on the Green Acres is the place to be.
I'm all for that.
This week's episode is sponsored by an incredibly talented photographer, Jay Yee. Jay offers a wide variety of vanilla photo shoots such as headshots, conventions, weddings, family photos, dating profile photos, proposals, and more. Rara and I have known Jay for years, and when his clients have given permission, we've been able to see some of his photos, and wow, we are amazed at how he is able to capture a moment in time that shows the joy and beauty of the people in the photo. I remember seeing some maternity shots that he did, and the mother was glowing. I can only imagine how it will feel to look back on those photos years from now and remember the excitement she felt that was so clearly captured in the photos. But what's so cool about Jay is he is a kinkster himself, so he also offers amazing kink photos. He can do solo shoots, such as boudoir photos, or couple shoots, like a collaring ceremony.
Maybe you want professional shots of your scenes, like rope suspension. If you have an idea, Jay can probably make it happen. He works throughout the Maryland, Virginia, and DC areas, but he's also willing to travel to some parts of West Virginia. You can reach out to Jay to discuss your photo needs either through his website at www.jyiphoto.com. That's JYIPHOTO.com, or even through FetLife. His handle is ISO800. And if you visit his website, which we will list in the show notes, you can see some of his beautiful work. So if you need someone to help you capture those once-in-a-lifetime moments, check out jyiphoto.com.
Okay.
We'll behave now. Maybe. Not really. No. We never do.
Sounds great to me.
What are some of the things you like to teach about in your videos?
Honestly, it's a little bit about everything and anything. Because I not only do I want to like coach or mentor, but I crave that knowledge too, right? Because I love hearing everybody else's different experiences. Like, I'm not a sadist, for instance, right? But I found the stories fascinating. I think the mind state is a fascinating mind state, but it's not something for me. So for me, it's one of the biggest things is research. Don't come into this thinking like you have to fill a specific role, because when you go into beginning your research, you are looking into finding out the definitions to find out exactly where you already fit in there. Or you're not finding out who you need to become, you're finding out who you exactly are already. So the biggest thing for me is to research, do a lot of self-reflection, become and begin your self-growth. Because when you enter into that dynamic, the individual you'll be entering that dynamic with should be helping you along your way further growth.
Definitely.
Because the perspective of dominant is never to belittle or tear down the submissive. It's always to build up and to uplift. We want to watch you become who you are in the most beautiful, spectacular fashion possible. Like, that's the entire goal I've seen in any dominant ever. And people don't understand the fact that that's how dominance should be working. So it's a big thing for me is that when you're coming into the scene, you need to understand, like, this is all about self-growth, self-knowledge, and learning a lot more about self-love and self-understanding more than anything else. If you can understand that perspective and that mind state, you'll be coming into the scene in a much healthier way than, let's say, I did, for instance. I mean, how many people ended up coming into the scene and started researching porn? I mean,
probably quite a few.
Exactly.
More than
you
think.
And how many of those scenes do you really think were probably performed the proper way?
None.
That's the whole point, is the knowledge isn't out there. The only reason that I ended up gaining my knowledge is because I talked to a lot of people that have properly been in the scene, and you can see the healthy dynamics. But the porn industry right now is teaching these guys that they just need to go like a fucking jackhammer and be done with it. It's not tab A, slot B, and pump till you explode, you fucking infidel. It's not that, it doesn't have to be so fucking simple. It shouldn't be a momentary, fleeting thing. It should be a fucking experience. And that's the difference. That's how we treat relationships. That's how we treat sex, is instant gratification and done. You think I'm going to put in fucking 20 minutes? I mean, and it wasn't an insult on him, but it was like, dude, stop looking at it like a fucking Tinder date and you're just going to swipe right, go fuck, and then never call her again. Stop dismissing individuals and stop treating them like fucking objects. As soon as you stop getting rid of that perspective, that mind state that they're in right now, then we can further on having a better relationship and hopefully better lives. I mean, for fuck's sake, the entire nation's in a fucking turmoil right now when it comes to it, and nobody even really wants to acknowledge it.
Do you find using TikTok to be more effective in teaching, or do you do anything in person?
I think much, much more of a tool and a marketing ability. There's about 15 different Discord servers that I'm a part of. We're teaming up and partnering up all of our Discord servers to continue BDSM education. So we have like Cancer Face Productions is holding together classes with like Metal Cowboy. Myself, I held a class just the other day doing that. You know, so there's like we are, out there, and we are trying to become more and more active about getting out actual BDSM education. But TikTok, we can only do so much in a 60-second window. BDSM and pretty much every single topic is so in-depth, you do need a lot more time. So we've been looking forward to this 3-minute upload now, and I just got a part of that a couple days ago. I've been debating, a Whisper Daddy did his first 3-minute video, and it was about how TikTok's algorithm needs to be worked on. And I thought about doing the same thing.
Oh, you mean just because they block people for nudity when they're fully dressed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had a video taken down just because I looked at the camera. Sexual content and nudity. Yep. And I appealed it and it didn't go back up. So what did I do? I posted it back.
Has anyone won any appeals? Because everyone I know who's appealed always talks about how they lose the appeal.
I've lost every single appeal on this account. I've won appeals on the old account, but I've never won an appeal on this one.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the have you ever looked at someone and fucked the shit out of them in their head? It was that video. That video was taken down for sexual content and nudity at almost 200K. And
yeah, that was because you were fucking them in your head and they could totally see it.
Well, clearly, I guess I ended up... Yeah, oh my God. I know that every time I post that video, it's popular. Yeah, 106,000 videos it's got on it now after I posted it back up after they took it back down. I was like, no. That's going back up. Screw you guys. Not doing it.
Now, do you find that certain types of videos generate more interest than other types?
I think it all depends. There's a way that you can work the algorithm, you know? Okay, so for instance, I just use mainly just two hashtags, KinkTok and mine, hashtag JLossFunhouse. The reason is that I want to focus the people that will come to my page and the FYP will be only on either the JLossFunhouse or KinkTok. Like, that's the only reason I use that. Depending on what time of day you post, depending what hashtags you use, and then depending on how you started your account, all determines what part of the algorithm section you'll end up going in for TikTok. So there's a way to manipulate it in order for it to work for your benefit. What I have found is, depending on the creator, it kind of depends on what time of day they need to post, depending on what kind of content you're going to be posting. Most people aren't going to want to wake up to see a thirst trap. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to go into work and be all fucking worked up. You do want to go into work after you just watched a hilarious video. So if you're going to post a video in the morning, you're probably going to get better views, better interaction with the following if you post a funny video in the morning rather than at night. You can still post a funny video at night. It'll probably still kick off because most of the people are swiping during the evening time. But if you're going to post like a thirst trap, nighttime is probably going to be the time to do it. One thing that I've tried to do is, if you go on through on my videos, I try to like every single comment. I love seeing like so much interaction with me, and it's humbling as fuck for me. So I enjoy the hell out of it. That's why everybody's like, well, do you mind if I do edit? I'm like, no, please go. I want to see what kind of creative shit you can come up with on my shit, you know? Like one of my videos that I did the other day, the snap from a hard dom to a soft dom. One of the other content creators who's got like 30K following, she started the video like she was just talking to me and she goes, well, I was having a really good day, but then I told your mom that you weren't sleeping well and she just said that you need to go to bed earlier, and that's when I snapped. And I was just like, and she goes, what? You know, but it was fucking hilarious. I fucking giggled at it, you know. Naked Wisdom ended up took that same video and she made it acting like she was putting on a chastity on. She goes, okay, take a breathe in. And then I flex my face and she slaps it and she goes, good job. And I'm like, you know, awesome. I think that shit's hilarious. You know, it's not insulting to me at all. I don't take myself seriously. Like my very first account, I never made a single thirst trap. I winked in a couple of them, but that was it. I think of myself like a 6, to be honest with you. I'm not like I'm above average. That's about it. When everybody's like, oh my God, your eyes. Oh my God, your eyelashes. Oh my God, that wink. And I'm like, interesting. Well, if that's what they want, then okay. So I just started making a couple videos where I was just doing acting scenarios, which would make me kind of look at them like I'm going to flirt with them. And then I started toying with those videos and those started taking off. And I'm just like, how is this even really a thing? So usually when I'm posting, I would be giggling at myself. Like, most of the time I would have tears running down my cheeks because I think this stuff's hilarious or ridiculous, especially like my bad dad jokes, for instance. I like doing these collaborations, these ideas. I think the best ones just end up just happening organically, just like mine and Wild Heathen's Coffee Wars kickoff. It just ended up happening organically, and it just took off the way it did. So I'm just really glad that it did. And while we're on that subject, we started I Stand With The Survivors campaign with the Coffee Wars. So they're selling the Coffee Wars merchandise, and the funds that are being raised are going to be going towards all of the survivors from the TikTok drama. We'll just put it that way. If you guys are interested, all of those funds will be going to helping out with all of the attorney fees, stuff like that.
We'd be happy to, you know, promote that and for sure, help with that. Always helping with survivors. That's a great cause.
Yeah, I actually broke down and made one of my own coffee wars, water wars video, because I'm poly, so I just said I'm both.
That's not a bad idea. That's not bad.
I want it all. That's why I'm poly. I don't want to have to choose.
You could have said you were bi.
I could, but I'm not really bi.
You just have both.
I just want it. I want it all.
She wants it all at the same time. That's what it
really is.
So it's a group activity more than anything.
It's about being a princess. I want it all.
That's fair.
Do you have a favorite story about a follower, whether good or bad, just something that really stuck with you?
No, not really, I guess. There's been, on this account and over the last couple of months has been absolutely amazing in developing the friendships that I've been able to. I guess the only real instance that I can think of that were, I've gotten multiple messages thanking me for helping them with knowledge or giving them a better understanding of it or coming into the scene in a healthier way. Or like my meditation video, I got a lot of personal messages about how much they needed that day. And I was like, you know what? I was actually doing it for myself that day. I just put it on tape, you know, and that's exactly what I do. Those stick out to me probably the absolute most. Like they absolutely really do mean the most to me. Being able to help an individual, whether it's through a hard time or through a relationship or just self-growth and understanding, whatever the case may be, being able to help people like that on such a scale like I can is a gift, and it's an absolute blessing for me. I'm a caretaker, so doing that kind of stuff is very fulfilling for me. The only other ones, I guess, on the opposite side of the spectrum would be people projecting onto creators. Like, for instance, the videos that I made of all the guys' Eyes Only Thirst Traps videos. One of the comments on there was a girl who said that the video made the hairs on the back of her neck stand on end and not in a good way. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. You know, I have no problem with not being everybody's cup of tea. I've made peace with that a long fucking time ago. So I said, go to the options, hit not interested, and you won't see things like this anymore. And she goes, I can't believe you wouldn't reach out to me and ask me what's wrong and what you did wrong. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
What?
So why do you need her opinion?
That's exactly it. And she was projecting something onto me that I triggered in her. One thing that a creator needs to understand is that when you get comments like that, that's exactly what it is. You only triggered something inside of them. Not necessarily something you did or said. You just triggered something inside of them. It made them go to a dark place somewhere. There's a dark reason why they have some sort of a reaction like that. It's not necessarily you, but they're projecting that onto you. And I've been streaming on twitch.tv for better part of 5 years, and I've seen some hate on there, but honestly, I have just broke 10,000 views on there. And I've been on there for 5 years. My hashtag on TikTok has over 2.2 million views. And I've only been doing that for the last 2 months, 3 months, 3 months. So I never came across a whole heck of a lot of hate on Twitch. But when I came over to TikTok, I did eventually come across a little bit.
All right, ready? Silly question. Because we all have them. Who is your TikTok crush?
I guess I really don't have crushes. I have a couple of friends that I really do try to go out and take a look at. River Ryan's fantastic. Bratty Princess was very popular till she got Thanos, and now she's really struggling to gain her account back. But she posts all the same stuff. She was actually the second kink talker I ever came across. Sirenson, she's absolutely amazing. I love her content. I used to go and watch Sir Ezra a lot when he was posting a lot. He has, if you haven't checked his TikTok out, he's got some amazing content on BDSM, education, books, tools, implements, everything else. They're TikTok friendly, which is very hard to do.
Anything else that you want to say or point out?
No, I guess keep doing your research, learning, take your time. Don't rush into anything. Take your time learning who the individual is before you go into any kind of dynamic.
Thank you so much for all of your time. This has been amazing.
Yeah, no sweat. Appreciate it, guys. Glad you guys at least enjoyed it.
Last but not least, we have our third guest, well-known amongst Kink Talk.
We were so excited. He said yes.
Yeah, she actually interrupted my scene at a party to scream at me that this guy said yes to our invitation.
I might have done that.
A little bit.
Just a little bit.
A little bit. I think I have it recorded.
Okay, so I totally was fangirling.
A little bit.
He said yes.
It sounds like you asked him to prom, like you're so excited.
Oh my God.
We got none other than Kane Wolf.
Woo!
Kane and his narwhal Penny, who I just was introduced to for the first time in this interview, have amassed quite the following with his use of daily affirmations and pleas to drink water.
Yes, he is a big part of what's known as the coffee wars on TikTok. And I think you will find out that he is really an amazing, awesome guy, too.
And he's pretty dang cute.
Oh, yeah.
I was, I think I fangirled more than you at the end of
Once you got to know him, yeah.
And then he asked me about Electro, so I was like, oh, hi.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I'm your girl.
All right, so I feel almost like we need a drum roll for this one, but here's Kane.
So I've been in the lifestyle about 2.5 years, so still, comparatively speaking, fairly new, learning, trying to take in a lot. Everybody's kink journey is valid, yes, but mine is about 2.5 years at this point.
Is there anything that changed when you joined the lifestyle? Like, what do you identify as? Is it different from when you first joined or the same?
Not particularly. I think I've explored a bit and sort of expanded some, but it's all been in the same general category. I consider myself a daddy dom, a pleasure dom, and that's hasn't shifted a whole lot. You know, I've done the BDSM test a couple of times just to keep an eye on my own preferences on things, but not a whole lot has shifted.
Now, I know in your videos you talk to Princess a lot. Is there an actual Princess?
So Princess is a character, is a sort of concept that's used to illustrate some of these concepts. And that's how Penny came along, is I needed a connection there. I needed something physical to be able to represent a connection between me and a character that is unseen.
Okay, so for somebody who is not actually as active on TikTok, who is Penny?
Penny is a stuffed narwhal.
Oh, she's cute.
Penny has become a icon, dare I say. people really enjoy Penny. Oftentimes when I go live, the first question is, where is Penny? People want to know where Penny is, what Penny's doing. So that sort of started an entire narwhal thing, for lack of a better term.
Is that why I've
become
so
the narwhal guy?
I saw the narwhal on my couch.
That, yes.
Oh my God. Okay.
I am a
There's a whole narwhal connection.
Penny.
I understand.
Penny's
now.
Great. She encourages you to work out.
It's
she
true.
She encourages you to drink water. Do you have your water with you?
Do I? I do. I have some water right here.
Okay. Just checking.
But coffee.
Well, I have my coffee.
I also have coffee.
He has coffee too.
Is he?
Well, here's the thing.
Is he poly?
They're not, but they're not the same thing.
Coffee is water or is not water? Choose a side.
Wait, what?
It's a very
about?
Important question.
It's bean water. It's magic bean water.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Yikes.
It's the magical bean water that wakes me up in the morning and turns me back into a human.
That's fair.
So how did your whole adventures on TikTok get started?
So I was working another job in late of last year. I had an opportunity to leave that. I initially intended to do music full time. I left that job with the intent of doing music. And that didn't quite get started as quickly as I needed it to. I ended up just hanging around for, you know, 8-9 hours a day. Wasn't feeling very productive. Somebody that knows me reached out and said, hey, there's a community for, you know, for BDSM, for kink on TikTok. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to be getting on TikTok and doing anything. And lo and behold, eventually I ran out of things to do. I thought I'll give it a shot. And I think late December of last year of 2020, I made my first video and it kind of exploded from there. It's been pretty incredible.
We've actually noticed a trend here. People didn't mean to do this. They didn't have any intention of being a TikTok star and a BDSM educator on TikTok. And they're all like, it just kind of happened. So was that was your experience too?
Somewhat. You know, I come to this with a marketing background. So once I decided I was going to do it, I fully intended to do it to the best of my ability. Now, an important point there, I don't necessarily consider myself an educator per se. Okay. I don't know that I quite meet the standards of knowledge for that. What I do like to do is just inform people, mostly from my own experience, whether that be kink or mental health is another thing that I'm sure you've seen a few of my videos on, and encourage people to be their best, to do their best, and to inform themselves. And if I can give them, you know, some nuggets of information along the way, I am more than happy to do so. But as far as getting on TikTok and planning to sort of be where I am right now, I knew I wanted to do something with it and I wanted it to be successful. And I did it. I went in 100%. Once I committed to doing the TikTok thing, you know, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. And I've been very fortunate and lucky that so many people have found value in what I do and what I create.
How do you come up with content?
Some of it is from my own personal experiences. Of course, some of it is just reactionary based on the platform, you know, stitches and duets and things like that. I do spend probably an inordinate amount of time on TikTok daily. So keeping up with what's going on and who's doing what. And trying to glean ideas based on that. But you know, sometimes I'll just be in the shower and I'll have an idea for a scenario video to play out, or I'll be taking a walk and something will come into my head. Oh, that could be a funny bit of dialogue to try to sneak in somewhere. So it comes from all over the place.
You mentioned your very first video kind of exploded. Was that the video that you would say changed everything, or was there a different one that sort of catapulted you?
There was one video that catapulted me, and not in an entirely positive direction. There's a video that I refer to as the vibe video, where I say vibe with me and we're kind of rocking back and forth and I do some affirmations. And the concept for that one came to me. I usually post at 8:15 a.m. I've been doing that since I started. That idea came to me at 7:30 in the morning. I woke up. I didn't have a video for that morning. I went into my living room and shot it, and it got hundreds of thousands of views. And then it got pulled down for a community guidelines violation. So I made another one and put that one up, and that one exploded as well. That one got a couple hundred thousand views. Now, unfortunately, that got in front of some audiences that I didn't quite intend, so I had a lot of issues with minors.
Oh.
But that definitely got out to, you know, based on just the hashtags and things that I was using at the time, a lot of my kink audience as well. So I'd say that one was pretty much the turning point. I think I got on a lot of people's radars after that one, and there were a lot of folks following my content.
So have you dealt with the joy of being Thanos'd?
Not on TikTok. I am on my third Instagram account, however.
Oh.
As of yesterday. 2 days ago, my account got banned, so I made a new one yesterday. Which is weird, because I try to keep that clean, but it's tough. There's not a lot of transparency in the rules or how they're applied. When the policing system is luck of the draw, you're going to run into some issues. I try to be as best prepared I can for what I consider to be the eventuality of of my account being Thanos'd. But so far on TikTok, I've been pretty lucky.
What are the types of things that you like to educate about or talk about on your TikToks?
I like to talk about positivity. I like to talk about people believing themselves, making the right choices for them. I like to talk about consent. I think that's an incredibly important topic of conversation. Healthy habits, whether that be sexual, body, mind, people taking care of themselves, people doing what's right for them. Aftercare is another one that comes up fairly frequently that I think is very important. Yep. Every time I make an aftercare video, there are a lot of comments of people that say, I've never had this, or this is something that gets taken away from me, or I didn't know that this was even a thing. Having just one of those comments makes it worth it for me, because that can change the entire experience with BDSM and with kink, because it's such an integral part of the experience. It's a necessity.
Have you found TikTok to be effective in teaching kinksters?
I would say yes, and that's because of the visibility I've gotten into the community that we're all sort of building together. I also have a Discord server, so a lot of the folks that follow me pretty closely, I interact with on a fairly regular basis, and you can tell that they pick up these things. They learn, they get value from the information I put out. You're going to have the folks who see one video and then they'll never see me again, and if they get a little bit of information from there, then that's all well and good. But based on the interactions that I see my followers having with other people, I can tell that what I'm doing and what the other Kink Talk creators are doing is really having an impact. People are becoming more informed. And it's great to see.
So is there anything that you do in particular to create the more popular videos, or are they just kind of random?
It tends to be random. In any given day, it's difficult to predict what's going to do well. There are some things that generally do pretty well. Thirst traps are a pretty safe bet. Growling videos usually do pretty well. But otherwise, there's so much that's not known about the platform and how it pushes out videos that I could have a video that goes viral for seemingly no reason at all. And like I said, sometimes that means it's getting in front of an audience that I don't particularly want to be in front of. So it's tough to really gauge the effectiveness of some of this content.
So with as large as you've become, and you talked earlier about getting in front of, unfortunately, minors, mm-hmm. How do you watch for that? How do you avoid that?
So avoiding it's fairly difficult. The platform, you know, doesn't really allow us to segment our content and who sees it. So it's sort of luck of the draw as far as who gets in front of it. Now, the things I can do are somewhat reactionary. There's a couple of proactive things I can do. I've got a stellar moderator team who keep me informed as to minors commenting on things. They're in all of my live streams, checking people's ages. At every turn, I try to make sure I'm doing my due diligence to make sure that minors are not interacting with my content. I don't think I'm doing anything that's inherently dangerous, but that being said, it's best for everybody if we just don't interact with each other. Sometimes, you know, if they come onto my page and comment that they are a certain age, it's unfortunate because first thing I do is I block them, but I also understand that means they're going to be seeing more content like mine. So if they don't want to see it, they've interacted with it. Unfortunately, now the algorithm sees that they enjoy, with air quotes, that content and they're going to see more of it. So it's a tough thing to deal with. I've been up for hours at night blocking minors that I followed my page. Like I said, when I did that vibe video, there were quite a few, and I do my best to address that when it comes up, but it can get to be a real problem.
So do you have a favorite follower story?
A favorite follower story? There are some themes that I tend to enjoy. There are a lot of people from the non-kink community who reach out to me and say, "Hey, I'm not really into this sort of thing, but I really enjoy your content because of the message and the concepts and the ideas that you talk about." And that's a real good opportunity for me to say, first off, thank you very much for your support. Second off, you and I are not that different. Funny how that works out sometimes. I think that opens the doors for a broader conversation with some of these folks outside the community, because unfortunately, kink is stigmatized. BDSM is incredibly stigmatized. And that's, we've received very little help from the media as far as portrayals go. And so those conversations to me are very, very valuable. I also enjoy folks who reach out to me and say that they were in a bad situation, saw my content, saw some other people's content, saw some of the stuff we talked about with consent, and removed themselves from that situation. You know, as incredibly difficult as that may be, I will always support people making the choices that are right for them.
One of the areas, even within the community, that there's a stigma surrounding is the whole daddy dom, little girl. Have you run into that at all? Do you find yourself having to fight against it?
I do occasionally. There are some fantastic folks in Kink Talk who are talking about these things and trying to get the broader point across. Fairly early on in my TikTok career, so to speak, I had a live stream that was invaded. I guess it hit the FYP, and there were a lot of minors that came on and were levying accusations of harm against children. And that was the only time I've ever had to shut down a live stream, because first off, nobody deserves that, to have people come onto their stream and make these accusations against them. It shows a fundamental misunderstanding of what I'm doing and of, you know, the good that is done by folks who enjoy these kinds of things, you know, in a consensual manner. It's very unfortunate that's the opinion that some people have. It comes across as misinformed. And I think part of what I do is to help normalize some of these concepts. And that's not a bad thing.
Well, how do you respond to the negative commentary?
For the most part, I tend to ignore it. The folks that are going to be negative to me on the internet are not looking to be informed. They're not looking to have their minds changed, and I'm not here to do that. I'm here to help people who are open to it. I'm here to entertain people who enjoy what I do. I am not here to get in arguments with strangers. That benefits nobody. It only stands to make me look bad, and you know, it's tough to come out on top of something like that. So, like I said, I've got my mod team. They're amazing. They mute folks on the live stream who come in with negativity. The comments section, things like that, I just tend to ignore. It's not worth my time.
Good to know. What video do you feel was the most successful? And it doesn't have to be numbers, just even the response from others. Is there one video in particular that really speaks to you?
That's an interesting question. I've been putting out about 3 videos a day since last December. So at this point, I've done, how many months is that? 5, 30?
A lot.
A lot of videos. So I'm sure I could scroll back and take a look. I think the first breathing video to me was very successful. I've tried to continue doing that. Some of the consent content that was done was also very successful. I feel like that got a message out. I did some stuff with Wild Heathen on consent. And not only was that just fun to create, I feel like it inspired a very positive change. Brought some positivity and also some information to an incredibly difficult situation. Consent or lack thereof is a very serious matter. And so if you can get people to engage with content on that, I think that's a good thing.
Is that why you kind of dove into all of the kink talk drama with that one player? Because I know it's a big thing, and a lot of different kink talk creators put forth videos on consent in relation to this unsafe player.
Yes. So I don't want to speak too much on that, but I will tell you this. Having a large platform, I have a responsibility to act in the best interest of the community and to get out there and help support people. You know, that's a terrible situation all around. It's tough to address because there are folks on the other side of that argument who are looking to bring down accounts that speak out about it. There are also things going on in an official capacity that I do not want to get in the middle of. Mm-hmm. So I think I made one or two videos about it, mostly saying, look, I stand with survivors of any kind of abuse. That's my position. I can't be more clear about that. Now, the specifics of that situation and how that gets handled is more of a job for the authorities. I have a duty, I have an obligation, and I wanted to make sure that these people get the support that they deserve.
With great power comes great responsibility.
And it requires great care sometimes. Yeah. Also, yes. I've got to be very careful about what I say.
So is there anything that makes you stand out, in your opinion, from other kink talk creators?
I don't know about that, because there's a lot of folks that are doing a lot of really good, really good things on kink talk. Every time I make a video, I try to make the best one I can. I try to make sure that my information is as correct as it can be, as motivational, as uplifting. I do right by myself in making the content that I do, and I go out there and I give it 100%. And I've been fortunate enough that quite a few people, like I said, have found value in that and keep coming back and keep watching my videos. And I really can't ask for more than that.
All right. So 3 videos a day since December. How do you have that much creativity in you? That is a lot of work.
That's tough. I'm inherently a fairly creative person. I've been, playing music and doing other artistic things for quite a while, but it takes a lot of work. And I'm fortunate enough to have been able to make it my full-time job, so to speak, in that I can put the time into it to develop concepts, to do research, whether that be into kink concepts or into what is currently trending, to try to figure out what's going on. I've got an assistant that helps me out and does a fantastic job. We've put together a content calendar to help organize it. So there are some things that I've, been able to do, and the folks that help me have been able to do, to make sure that I'm not just flying blind, so mm-hmm. to speak. There is some method to the madness. For a while, it was just creating whatever video came to mind, and that wasn't going to work indefinitely. That wasn't sustainable. So we had to come up with some other things to get a better process in place.
Cool. This is kind of a goofy question, but we've run into this.
We're asking everybody this one.
All right, what you got?
I almost don't even want to. Who is your TikTok crush?
Ooh.
Because we've actually been discussing our different TikTok crushes with each other, and it just kind of keeps coming up with everybody. And we're like, all right, well, we want to know who yours is, because people crush on you guys a lot. So who's yours?
Who is mine? Oh, man. It's going to have to be Doug. It's going to have to be Wild Heathen. His content's fantastic. I had the pleasure of meeting him, and we hung out a little bit. So if you'll allow me to submit that one for consideration.
Absolutely.
Final answer.
Yes. You've never seen their growling together. See, that's what you've got.
Okay, well, that's something that you have to show me for sure.
Oh, that's the good one.
Yeah, uh-huh. they do both do a lot of growling.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah, it works.
I'm going to have to watch that. So I think I'm going to develop some new celebrity crushes.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's about it from us. I mean, is there anything you'd like to add? Do you want to make sure you get across?
Not particularly. I think, how grateful I am that I've been able to do this and make it work, and seeing the community that's being built by not only myself, but everybody involved in Kink Talk. I've been able to collaborate and speak to and get to know some really amazing creators, some really amazing people. There are people behind every single one of these, folks making videos. And I think that's important to understand. And it's been a joy, it's been a pleasure, and it has been a privilege on my part to be able to keep doing what I do, and I'm glad people enjoy it.
Do you think now that the quarantine is finally ending and we're all able to come out of our houses and start attending events and stuff, do you think Kink Talk will still stay as huge and popular as it's been?
I think so. You know, of course, that remains to be seen, but I think it's become a staple to a lot of folks. It's become a resource. It's become a community. I would like to think that some of that is outside of a quarantine environment. I hope that that's got some staying power.
Can you do me one quick favor, though, just to make her freak out even more?
What can I do for you?
I kind of want him to... Can you say a little shout out to my friend, Kaidapon?
Kaidapon? Who is Kaidapon?
It's just a friend of mine. She's the one that dragged me into the kink world as a whole. I was in it for a while, more private, and then she took me to my first dungeon. She's the one we were talking about before when I said that I mentioned we got you as an interview. She went absolutely balls to the wall crazy.
Very nice. Well, then I will say, Kaidapon, I appreciate you bringing folks into the fold in what sounds like a positive manner. It sounds like you like my videos, so I very much appreciate your support, and I hope you have a fantastic day.
Oh, she's going to cry. It's going to be great. Thank you.
Absolutely.
She's going to go nuts.
There we go. See, you're right. What did she call it? A kink star.
Yes.
Kink star. Interesting.
Yes. Huh. Yes.
I wonder if I can put that on my resume.
Oh, God. I wish that was an actual thing that we could use
on your resume. Yeah.
Can we put Runs a Kinky Podcast on our resume?
Someday, maybe.
Yeah, that'll get me
I think digital audio media content creator is...
Oh.
I used to do the corporate thing for a while. I got really good at writing resumes and coming up with wording and phrasing and things
like that. Well, I've decided that my next job is going to be a corporate coffee sub, so I think I'm okay.
Nice. I hear there's a lot of demand for that.
Well, especially if Wild Thief keeps pouring coffee out, we need somebody else to hurry up. And
somebody's
got
to refill all those cups.
Yeah.
Yeah, I threw one off the balcony the other day, and people thought I threw the cup. I just threw the coffee out. But
this coffee war thing is huge.
Why are
you
people
have no idea?
But
how
why
big
are people throwing out coffee?
We don't understand.
But
on principle,
no, don't like this. I put coffee in a sippy cup. No.
Not right. That's just not right.
It has Kahlua.
That's not a bad idea.
Oh, it's delicious. Everything's better in a sippy cup because little.
Yeah. And most things are better through a straw also.
Yes, I agree.
But the power of the sippy cup cannot be
underestimated. This is my big girl sippy cup.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. I'm required to drink that 2 times a day.
And what does that have in it?
Do I have to
Never mind.
Yes.
Moving right along.
Technically, it's Crystal Light, but we refer to it as daddy water.
Why?
Because it tastes better when daddy makes the water, so it's daddy water now.
That's fair. Okay.
That was the most embarrassing thing you've ever made me say to somebody.
Seriously? Because I've done some very embarrassing things to you, and that was it?
Look, here's and this is another thing. I keep a judgment-free zone everywhere I go. Anything that happens between consenting adults to me is valid. I appreciate that you told me that. I understand that it was fairly, you know, difficult to say. I think that's fantastic. I think that the reasoning behind it is solid. I had no idea where you were going with that. And when you got there, I was like, you know what? Yeah, that makes sense.
It's just, it's always better when daddy does it. So that's what we went with.
That's fair. So the folks at home can't see us, but do you all want to see Penny?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So I keep Penny hangs out with me while I work. She sits in a big coffee cup on a big narwhal mug on the side of my desk and keeps me company while I work. So every time when I'm on here, if I'm on Twitch or something, people say, where's Penny?
Penny right is here. Always there.
Every single time.
Penny helps count when he does his push-ups. Penny counts and True. Helps Penny's make a very sure good he gets counter. Enough push-ups in.
Okay, so I'm going to follow you on TikTok. Just go ahead and accept. I don't post anything, but I'm going to follow the hell out of you now.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Would you like to borrow my narwhal so that you can have one too? And
yes,
and duet with Penny.
I currently do not have a narwhal, and I feel a strong desire to get one.
Okay, his name is Blue.
Everybody needs a narwhal.
His name is Buford.
Is he pink?
No, he's blue.
I need a pink one.
Okay,
Buford. That's an awesome name. I've also learned more about narwhals doing this than I could have ever expected.
But you know the little YouTube video, the song Narwhals, right?
I am aware. Yes.
Okay. Good.
At some point, that might show up in my
content. Didn't know that one.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a very interesting emergency.
I might be littling out a minute right now.
Maybe for my birthday, you can get me a pink narwhal.
Okay, there we go. I can do that.
It's an excellent idea.
It's going to be purple. Don't tell her.
Don't get me purple.
I believe Penny is lilac.
Oh, good.
Get right in.
You're dragging poor Kane into the middle of our pink versus purple wars. You guys have coffee wars.
What is this?
We have pink versus purple war.
We do.
What's the basis of that?
Well, because I feel pink is the best color there is.
And I feel that she's wrong and purple is the best color.
But notice we're called Pink Kink Podcast, so I won.
Yeah. We figured out the name in the middle of an Ashley Furniture.
Well, there are worse places to come up with a name. Is that a true story?
Yeah, actually, yes. I had the name before, and she tried to talk me out of it. So we went through a bunch of other different names, and I humored her, and I worked with her. And eventually, she came around to realize I was right, and Pink Kink was the best name.
Very subtle. That was very subtle.
Mm-hmm. Did you like that one?
Yeah, that was nice.
We also have another war going on. We are Team Lightning.
And Team Hit Me Harder.
Look at his face.
Do tell.
I am a sadomasochistic switch who is mostly into anything that's going to hurt. So
okay. She wears the bruises as a badge of honor.
I do impact and rope suspension and needles and staples. If it hurts, great. If it bleeds, better.
And I'm not into any of that.
So where does Team Lightning come into play?
Team Lightning is because I do electro. So my name in podcast and everything in the scene is Electro Khaleesi. And
I see.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I do Violet Wand. I do TENS unit, all of that good stuff, EMS. It just kind of started with us arguing about which one is better, as we do all the time. Mm-hmm. And
one has to be better, right? You can't just both be right. You can't both just enjoy what you enjoy.
No.
That would be not allowed.
See, the problem is she's a little and I'm a middle. And when we get together, we completely little out together and we become like bickering sisters.
That's pretty much our entire podcast.
Yeah.
So I can tell.
Hold on. I'm noticing more narwhals in the back there.
So we have the Council of Narwhals back here up top. And then there are some other narwhals. There's Nickel, who I got from the World Wildlife Fund. At 200,000 followers, I did a donation to two charities, to the Trevor Project, who do some fantastic work for the LGBTQ community, for young people, and the World Wildlife Fund. And we adopted a narwhal through them. And they sent me a box, and I did a video where I opened it, and that was where Nickel came from. So Nickel is now somewhat of a partner in crime to Penny.
Do all of your stuffy narwhals have names, or just a select few?
They do not. Only a couple of them do.
Okay.
And by a couple, I mean exactly two, I think. And that's gonna be Penny and Nickel.
I have to name every single one of my stuffies.
I eventually may get around to it. People keep asking the question, so I think it's a question that needs to be answered.
You should do a video where people get to chime in and name them.
That would end terribly.
Yeah, I'll help. I'll name one.
Have you seen any? Well, I guess it wouldn't be quite as bad, but any of these, you know, when McDonald's was like, name our new burger, and it just. Oh, yeah.
Wait. Did you see Bodie McBoatface?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Case in point. Suggestions I'll take.
Okay. Well, I mean, I have really good names. Buford is an awesome name. I have a pony named Jericho. I mean, come on. I'm good at this.
Look, Jericho. I like it.
I have, what is it? Barry Potter, the
non-binary.
The non-binary.
Assigned male at birth.
Bear.
Yes. That was her daughter.
My daughter named, I got from the Build-A-Bear Harry Potter. My daughter named it.
It's very specific.
Yes. Yeah. She was.
Yeah. That's we're going to. Finally, stop recording now.
Yes, I know. We could talk for hours. That's why we have a podcast, so we can talk for hours. We really enjoy talking with all three, and I wish we could have just spent an entire day just hanging out with them because they were that much fun.
Oh, it was great. It was amazing. I'm still kind of flying high off of this.
Now, using social media to kink educate is quite the delicate balance between blunt honesty about kink, somehow making it within community guidelines, which on TikTok is quite the adventure.
Yeah, we learned that the hard way.
Yeah, and then catching the attention of people in somehow 60 seconds or less. Hopefully those 60 seconds will entice followers to delve further into the lifestyle and learn more.
If not, I know that we feel, at least, that with Kink Talk influencers such as B, Jay, and Kane, that kinksters are receiving a pretty good education.
I agree. And of course, again, you can follow us on TikTok at the Pink Kink Podcast. Maybe get us to 200 followers now.
We hit past 100, guys. Woohoo!
Hashtag small goals.
Thank you for hanging out with us today. If you have a question you would like answered, or just have a story about the lifestyle you want to share, you can send us a voicemail, and maybe it will be shared in a future episode. Just go to pinkkink.com podcast.com to contact us.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and FetLife at the handle Pink Kink Podcast. Join our Facebook group, Pink Kink Podcast, and hang out with other pink kinksters.
If you love what we do and are able to help support us, we are on Patreon. Just look for us on patreon.com/pinkkinkpodcast.
Even if you can't show your support financially, there are other ways you can help. You can spread the word about our kinky podcast and tell your friends about us. You can also rate and review Pink Kink on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. The 5-star reviews really help.
Don't forget to subscribe to Pink Kink so you don't miss a minute of the fun. New episodes come out every Friday.
So until next time, stay pretty, stay safe,
and stay twisted.